And now your speaker for this lesson is Marlon Kilpatrick.
Thank you, and greetings, my friends. It's always a pleasure on my part to be able to study with you from God's holy and divine book, the Bible. Today, our lesson is entitled, Did You Know? There are many things which we all need to know, and of course there are some things which we can never know, at least in this life. In the long ago, Moses wrote, The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Deuteronomy 29:29. There are some things which God has not revealed. Those things which God has not revealed will forever remain secret in this life. On the other side of eternity, God may reveal these secret things to His people. However, there are some things which we can know, and indeed must know, in order to be saved and live pleasingly before God. My good people, did you know the sinner must obey the gospel in order to be saved? This sometimes comes as a surprise to many sincere and honest people. Yes, the Bible teaches that the sinner must obey the gospel in order to be saved. Hear the words of Jesus. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16:15-16. In this text, our Lord makes it clear that in order for the sinner to be saved, he must hear, believe, and obey the gospel. This shows that there is more for the sinner to do than simply believe in Christ as God's Son. The theory that the sinner is saved at the point of faith, without any further acts of obedience, will cause many to lose their souls. Salvation by faith alone is believed by many in the religious world. The creeds of many denominational churches plainly state their belief in this false doctrine. Article 9 of one of the largest Protestant denominations reads, and I quote, Faith only is a most wholesome doctrine and very full of comfort, end of quote. While it may be of comfort to some, it surely is not a wholesome doctrine. There is nothing more spiritually wholesome than the truth of the gospel of Christ. Nowhere on the pages of the New Testament can one read that all the sinner must do is simply believe and trust Christ as his personal Savior. Friends, it is possible for one to believe in Jesus and still not be saved. Let me give you a Bible example of such conduct. In the Gospel of John we read, Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they would not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. John 12:42-43. Now, here we read of those who believed on Jesus, but they would not confess him. And why? Because they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. We still have people like that in the world today. There are many who are more concerned about what others may say or think than what the Lord has said in His Word. To be saved, the sinner must not only believe in Christ, John 8:24. He must repent of his sins, Luke 13:3. He must confess that he believes that Jesus is the Son of God, Acts 8:37. And he must be baptized for the remission of his sins, Acts 2:38. These acts of obedience are necessary for salvation. When one obeys these commands, the Lord adds him to his church, the Church of Christ, and he is then simply a Christian. Sinner friend, have you done these things? Have you obeyed the gospel? If you haven't, you need to do so today. Tomorrow may be too late. Good people, did you know that there is but one true church? The idea that there is only one true church is, to many, absurd. But what does the Bible teach regarding the church? Does it really make a difference as to which church one may belong? And if it does make a difference, what is that difference? Friends, let's consider what the Bible actually teaches with regards to this important question. Jesus said, Upon this rock I will build my church, Matthew 16:18. These words of Christ were spoken in reply to Peter's confession that Christ is the Son of God. But notice carefully, Jesus promised to build his church. The church belongs to Christ. The church does not belong to John the Baptist, nor should it wear the title of the immerser. The church does not belong to any man. It belongs to Christ. Furthermore, you will notice that the word church is singular, not plural. It is crucial that we see what Jesus actually said. Jesus said, I will build my church. Jesus did not say, I will build my churches. Let's proceed a little further. When Jesus uttered these words, Upon this rock I will build my church, Notice carefully the tense of the verb and that it is in the future tense. When Jesus made this statement, the church was not yet in existence. Its beginning was yet in the future. But in Acts 2, we read of the establishment of the Lord's church. The church of Christ began on Pentecost in the city of Jerusalem, Acts 2. Friend, did you know when the Lord's church began? When did the church to which you belong have its beginning? If it began before Pentecost, Acts 2, it's too old. If it began after Pentecost, Acts 2, it's too young. Denominationalism, as we now know it, had its beginning many years after Pentecost, Acts 2. Therefore, it is safe to say no denominational church can be the church of the New Testament. Good people, hear me. What is so significant about the church as it is recorded in the New Testament? Well, it is to this church the Lord adds the saved, Acts 2:47. If the Lord adds the saved to His church, and He does, and furthermore the saved are only to be found in the Lord's church, and this too is true, then there are no saved persons outside of the church which belongs to Christ, His church, the church of Christ. I know not how to make language any plainer. Still, someone will come along and declare, it makes no difference as to which church you may belong. Just go to the church of your choice. Well, friend, if you obey the gospel, you will have no choice as to which church the Lord will add you. Jesus never makes a mistake in His addition. He will never divide the spoils with the devil. If you exercise your choice as to which church you will belong, then rest assured the church of your choice may not be the church of the New Testament. While it is certainly true, one may choose to obey the gospel and by the Lord be added to His church. But if you decide you will just accept Jesus as your personal Savior, you'll join a church of human origin. It won't be the church of Christ. Friends, I say this in all kindness and with no malice toward anyone, but don't just take my word. Search the Scriptures and see if I'm telling you the truth. When you learn that I am, then have the courage to obey the gospel and be saved. Good people, thus far we have discussed the fact that there is but one church, and that church belongs to Christ, and He adds the saved to the church, which is His. But now another question. Did you know that in order to be saved and by the Lord to be added to His church, you must be baptized for the remission of your sins? Friend, did you know that baptism is essential to salvation? To put it plainly, unless you are baptized and baptized for the right purpose, the remission of your sins, you cannot be saved. Let's see what the Scriptures have to say about baptism and its role, if any, in our salvation. Just before ascending back to heaven, Jesus gave what is oftentimes called the Great Commission. He told His apostles, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." Mark 16:15-16. Now notice carefully. Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Thus, the gospel is a worldwide message. It is for every accountable creature under heaven. The gospel of Christ is God's power unto salvation, Romans 1:16. All who are saved must first hear the gospel. The word gospel means good news. The good news that man can be saved from his sins, with his salvation made possible by the love of God for him, and the atoning sacrifice of Christ on Calvary's cross to make his redemption possible. So Christ has a plan for the sinner's salvation. This plan is called the gospel of Christ. Without obedience to the gospel of Christ, there can be no salvation for the sinner. Now, what must be the sinner's response to the gospel? He has only two choices. He either, one, believes the gospel, or two, he does not believe the gospel. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Now, why connect baptism to salvation? Is that not what the Lord did? Hear Him once more. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Yes, baptism is directly linked with the sinner's salvation. Why? Well, Jesus said so, and that ought to be good enough, and it is good enough for all who sincerely want to obey the Lord's will. But there is still another reason why baptism is linked to our salvation. It is in the act of baptism that the sinner reaches the blood of Christ and is cleansed from his sins. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?" Romans 6:3. You see, it is in baptism that the sinner enters into the death of Christ. Jesus shed his blood in his death, and when the sinner is baptized into the death of Christ, he reaches the blood of Christ. Therefore, the Apostle John wrote, "Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." Revelation 1:5. Saul of Tarsus was told, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Acts 22:16. Friends, in spite of such plain language, there are many who will still argue that baptism has nothing to do with your salvation. Some are taught that once you are saved, you should be baptized. But the problem with such teaching is we have the cart in front of the horse. In the Bible, baptism always precedes one's salvation. Friends, another reason baptism is essential to your salvation is because salvation is only in Christ. The Apostle Paul declared, "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." 2 Timothy 2:10. Now this is important. Where is salvation? Paul says it is in Christ Jesus. But how do we enter into Christ? According to Romans 6:3 and Galatians 3:26-27, we are baptized into Christ. So, if salvation is in Christ and the only way to get into Christ is through baptism, then baptism is essential to our salvation. Let anyone who thinks he can successfully deny this try. So, friend, baptism is necessary. Baptism is essential to your salvation. But how many denominational preachers do you know that will tell you this? Not many, if any. And the reason why? They simply do not believe what Jesus and his apostles taught. Good people, after having obeyed the gospel and by the Lord you have been added to the church of Christ, did you know that you must obediently work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, Philippians 2:12, or else you will be lost? The living of the Christian life is still before you. This is why Jesus said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give unto thee a crown of life." Revelation 2:10. Yes, many in the church of Christ need to learn this vital lesson. Too many times we seem to think that now that we have been baptized, we have a one-way ticket to heaven. This would be wonderful if it were true. However, it's false. Precious people, we need to awaken to what the Bible actually says and quit listening to these denominational preachers. They are leading multitudes down the road to hell. And the saddest fact of all, most do not know it. The way of salvation is simple. Just turn to the book of Acts and begin with chapter 2 and go through the book and make note of the various cases of conversion. Then ask yourself, have I done what these people did in order to be saved? This is what you must do or else you will be lost. Thank you so much for listening.